Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
We have commuted the sentence of Rod Blagojevich.
The only patriot on the right now, to me, is Romney.
He's impeached forever.
I think Bernie has a lot of questions to answer here.
I'll buy the presidency. That offends me very much.
Bernie, you're full of it.
I'm a Trumpocrat.
Rod Blagojevich is a Trumpocrat. Did you hear that? They got this white-headed guy at the airport this morning. It was kind of shocking, wasn't it, to see Rod Blagojevich now? Wasn't it a little shocking? Can we agree to that?
All the white hair, you mean?
He's still got great hair, but yeah. It's just all white. It used to be all black. You know,
he'll
he was dying
black
that,
again soon.
He was dying the heck out of that before he went to prison.
Yep.
And then they wouldn't let him get any of that touch of gray when he was in there, looks like. That's a problem. Hey, good morning to you. Live on the Facebook page this morning, by the way, go to the Mark Cox Show on Facebook. Hit the like button, please, while you're there. And you can watch the show in the comfort of your kitchen or your office or wherever you want to. And we will respond to your comments as well. We got a poll up there, depending on what you think about the Blagojevich commutation yesterday. Seems to be a surprising amount of passion about this. And I'm just not impressed. I just don't understand why anybody cares. The guy was convicted of one count of lying to an FBI agent, which I think is the point here. I could be wrong, because Roger Stone is supposed to be sentenced tomorrow. I don't think the timing was anything less than coincidental. It wasn't a coincidence. Put it that way. That just mm-hmm. my two cents. Yeah. Hey, by the way, you go vote on the poll there on the Facebook page. We are awaiting this morning word of a full staff meeting that's been called by the St. Louis Circuit Attorney, Kim Gardner. You know, she's been embattled. Is that a good phrase for it? She's been embattled?
Sure.
She has led the social justice charge from her high position there as the circuit attorney. She's called for for Jeff Rorta of the Police Officer Association to be fired. Why does he even exist? And her rate of prosecution of felony crimes is at like 20%. So in other words, she's just not doing her job. So now she's called a full staff meeting this morning at 8:30, and there's rampant speculation about what might happen there. So I want you to stay tuned here to 97.1 FM Talk. We're going to be following that for you, and we'll bring you any details as we move along, because I think there could be some interesting news out of that, and also some interesting Governor Greitens news today, too, on the Greitens front. So we're going to get to all of that and more for you this morning. Right now, though, I want to get to my guest. Dr. Charmaine Yost is with us this morning with the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. Charmaine, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to be with you. Happy Wednesday.
Yeah, happy Wednesday to you. Good to get you on here. You know, I said earlier, we kind of took a poll here in the studio. I don't think there's probably a bigger headline in America today than these commutations and pardons that the president handed down yesterday. Do you think the timing is coincidence?
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit. Do I think it's a coincidence?
That the president announced the commutations of these sentences the day before Roger Stone is supposed to be sentenced.
Well, you know, there's never a coincidence with Donald Trump. So, but, you know, the interesting thing of it is I think that so people make a big deal about commutations and pardons, and they're an important part of the executive function, but it'll pass, you know, within 24 hours. We're headed into the Dem debates tonight. And it's something that it's a little tempest in a teapot.
Yeah, well, that's true. You know, what I pointed out to people earlier, and I'm going to keep pointing it out, is that President Obama pardoned James Cartwright, who was a retired 4-star United States Marine Corps general, who pleaded guilty to giving false statements to federal investigators in 2016. He was awaiting sentencing when the president handed down a pardon. Now, if the president did that tomorrow, this president for General Flynn, for example, who's accused of who pleaded guilty to the exact same thing, there would be an outcry from the left in this country. I think the president is pointing out here that 14 years in prison for lying to the FBI is a little bit extreme. And there's no doubt in my mind that he's trying to send a message that if you end up sentencing Roger Stone to something that long, I'm going to commute his sentence too, just like all these other folks.
Well, it's important to have, you know, this is the whole thing about your balance of power, right? Is each individual, you know, the Congress is supposed to have a review on the executive, but the executive is also supposed to have a review on the judicial system. And so, and I think, frankly, the attention that's paid to it also kind of keeps it in bounds in terms of having a conversation about what sentencing looks like. So I think it's a win all the way around.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, I'm anxious to see what happens today with reaction to this in the Roger Stone case. It's just pretty amazing to me how this thing has gone down so far, how it's been played by the media. You know, yesterday, Charmaine, I had an opportunity to speak to some local members of law enforcement who've all been through the FBI National Academy. And I pointed out to them that the president takes a lot of heat for his description of mainstream media as in fake news. A lot of people are deeply offended by that who have the title of journalist or who went to school for journalism. But what I pointed out yesterday is that the industry, in my opinion, the industry has got to start policing itself if it wants to legitimately fight back against those claims. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that, because there's got to be a line between investigative journalism and advocacy journalism that a lot of these news organizations have adopted as a brand these days. And that's what hurts their image in the eyes of a lot of their viewers.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I had a conversation at an event this weekend over this exact issue. And what we were observing is you used to have, the reason you have an op-ed page is so that there's a clear delineation between here's the news and here's when our opinion starts. And just exactly what you said is there is no division between that anymore. I use a couple of different email newsletters from news sources to keep up with my news these days. And I've noticed a very decided shift between, you know, having the subject matter of here's what happened, here's what happened, here's what happened, with the commentary being thrown in and amongst. And honestly, I think that Twitter has been one of the worst things to happen to journalists, because now they feel like they, you know, they go onto Twitter, they want to make their commentary, and then it leaks back over into their actual quote unquote news. And I think that is really problematic, because we do need to have an independent kind of fourth a thing over there with the press.
Yes.
Where they're holding people accountable. That's important. An independent news media.
And they don't police them. They don't police themselves. You know, the White House Press Association, as I pointed out yesterday, instead of going to court and trying to defend Jim Acosta's outrageous actions in the White House press briefing room, should have instead called up CNN and said, listen, we'll try to get his press pass back for him, but what we need you to do is send us a journalist who's going to cover what's going on in the White House and not somebody who wants to stand up and be the story every single press conference. And they don't do that.
Well, here's the problem is I would be okay with it if if, you know, you kind of envision them sitting around and being like, oh, you know, we were going to do this commentary. No, it's not like that. They don't even see it. If they recognized it when they were doing it, that would be one thing. But it's like this alternate reality where they just assume that this is their truth. It's they're inside their bubble, and they're making assumptions about what truth is. So they're defining an assertion of their viewpoint of the world as being objective truth and objective reality. And that's when it becomes problematic. Listen, I have a lot of friends who are journalists, a lot of journalists that I really respect. I think that it's such an admirable profession. It's essential to governance to have an independent media. But when they have completely bought into a leftist viewpoint of the world and are presenting that as objective reality, that's a problem.
Yeah, it really is. You know, another story, we're talking to Dr. Charmaine Yost from the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org. Another story that caught my eye today is this continual effort by certain parties in this country to try to block voter ID laws. You know, we've got an election cycle coming up here that is so crucial to this country's future. Here in the state of Missouri, we've tried to put in a voter ID law. A court has blocked a portion of it. It's happened across the country. It happened yesterday in North Carolina, where they put in a voter ID law. And just like Missouri's, these are common sense laws. You have to have a driver's license to fly. You have to have a driver's license to do so many things, but you don't have to prove who you are to vote. And in these cases, every one of them, if you don't have a photo ID, you can still go ahead and vote. You just have to come back later and prove who you were. And again, it's getting thrown out in court after court after court. And they claim that it's discriminatory against minorities. I don't understand that argument. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Boy, do I ever. Listen, let me put a fine point on this. You mentioned the fact of having to have an ID in order to fly. I was flying a lot this weekend. And not only do you have to have a driver's license, now my driver's license that doesn't expire until 2025 apparently is not going to be acceptable for flying starting in October because there's some kind of new extra fancy driver's license we're all going to have
right.
Starting in October. I realize extra fancy is a term of art here for describing what they're doing. But, you know, like how come we have to have the extra fancy super duper driver's license in order to get on a plane? But the number one most essential foundational right and that we assert in our democracy, you just, you know, in some places you can just kind of walk up and say, hey, yeah, I belong, I can vote. No, that's outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous. It's a huge honor to be an American and to be able to vote in our country. And you should have to have at least a bare minimum of proving that you are who you are before you can exercise that.
I would agree. You know, I've had our Secretary of State, Jay Ashcroft, on this show many times talking about this because he has really been leading the fight for voter ID laws here in Missouri. And every time, this is the argument we get. I'm reading this from a Reuters article today. Critics, including Democrats and voting rights advocates, say the laws are an effective way to suppress votes from African Americans who are more likely to vote Democratic and lack the needed identity cards. If I was African American or any minority or a member of any group, and somebody suggested that I was too incompetent to go get a free ID card, I would be angry about that. They single out these groups like they're incapable of going and getting a free, you know, in Missouri, you can go get a state ID card for free at the DMV. You just go down there right. And ask for it. And yet they want to claim that somehow having to prove who you are is discriminatory against certain groups.
Well, I think particularly given the increasingly small world that we live in, that is so interconnected, so easy to travel, we have to, you know, there's just a bare minimum that we have to be able to protect. And I think you're right when it's not that hard to have to prove your identity. Listen, the other whole conversation that I was a part of this weekend at this conference was about the challenges that we have in our interconnected world with disinformation and cyber crimes and other entities that are trying to promote disinformation around the world. to me, that's connected to this this question of identity, is we have to be able to put a stake in the ground and know what objective reality is. And that includes who people are. And it's just too easy these days to, with deep fakes and other kinds of ways of representing yourself, we need to make an effort for the integrity of our elections.
Well, I think that's great. Charmaine, I noticed that you helped take part in an article here on the Daily Signal talking about the Women's Global Development and Prosperity Initiative. The reason that caught my attention is I think in any other administration, this thing would be heralded to the end of the earth as the effort by the daughter of the president to help women around the world. This one gets ignored by the mainstream media constantly.
Oh, wow. Now you're hitting something that's near and dear to my heart. I can't tell you how many times I've been accused of being a traitor to my gender because I'm a conservative woman. Listen, I think Ivanka gets such a bad rap for being the daughter of the president. You know just exactly what you said, that in any other administration, she'd be on the cover of every single magazine and heralded for efforts to promote, advancement of women around the world. I think that I think her focus on this is really admirable. You know, it's interesting, as a conservative, you know, we really don't believe that we should be separating people by faith, creed, color, nationality. You know, human beings are human beings. But having said that, there are special needs that that women have around the globe, and I think it's important that she's bringing attention to that.
Yeah, I really am. And you, like you mentioned, I mean, if it was Malia Obama all grown up at the time her dad was president leading this, she'd have a Nobel Peace Prize. And in this case, it's crickets from the mainstream media. This is going on right now because your article on this here was from the day before Valentine's Day, and she was getting ready to embark on a worldwide tour to discuss this. And I've heard nothing about this anywhere else.
Yeah, she's doing good work. And particularly, you know, we as Americans, we do have a lot of privilege that we take for granted. And there are women around the world who really need a boost. And the fact that she's bringing attention to that, I think, is a good thing.
Well, I think it's fantastic. And thank you for being part of that article and trying to draw people's attention to it, because somebody's got to. Listen, Charmaine, we always appreciate having you on the show. Thank you.
Yeah, great to be with you.
You bet. Dr. Charmaine Yost with the Heritage Foundation there. Go to the Daily Signal there, dailysignal.com, and you can read this article. Honestly, have you heard anything about this?
No,
the Women's Global Development and Prosperity Initiative that Ivanka Trump is pushing to empower 50 million women in the developing world by 2025. Hmm. So right now, because this was last week, right now she's in Dubai meeting with leaders from the Middle East. She's traveling with the World Bank president, and she's going to be the keynote speaker at the Global Women's Forum. Truth or not, if this was the president of a Democrat doing this, it would be the lead story on CBS News. CBS This Morning might send Gayle King over there with her to travel with her to talk about how she's empowering women.
Yeah,
and they ignore it
that.
Because it's Ivanka Trump.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just like they ignore everything that Melania does.
Oh, my
amazing.
Gosh. Yeah. Michelle Obama dances and eats sandwiches, and everybody, the media swarms.
That's the first thing they start. Melania is doing amazing things as well, and she gets zero credit.
Or criticized for what
yes.
she's wearing and how expensive it is.
Wow. Just the double standard is just stupefying to me. It's just amazing. Hey, I tell you what, Stacey Washington's coming up. You know, love Stacey. She's been going to these county council meetings lately, and you won't believe some of the stuff that's coming out of some of the decisions they're making these days. They're going to give tablets, like electronic readers, like iPads, maybe not iPads, but something like it, to prisoners in the St. Louis County Jail in Clayton. Seriously, they're going to do this. They talked about it yesterday. We'll talk about it when we come back.
He said that your comments on Twitter are making it impossible to do his job. Are you making his job impossible?
Yeah, I do make his job harder. I do agree with that. I think that's true. He's a very straight shooter. We have a great attorney general, and
He's working very hard.
Stacy on the right joining us right now. You know, Stacy, love him or don't love him, Donald Trump is the most straightforward guy we've ever had in the White House.
Yeah, Mark, that's true. And also, I just want to point out that there's a lot of hemming and hawing and how horrible it is that President Trump has issued some pardons.
Right.
And I want to highlight some tweets. Eric Lipton, he's a reporter for the New York Times. Back when President Obama granted commutations, he tweeted, "Big day for executive actions from DOJ just now. President Obama grants commutations and pardons, clemency to 20, 8 commutations, 12 pardons." Same guy tweeted yesterday, "A moment that live in history and deserves to be remembered. President Trump is now both the executive and judicial branch. Rod Blagojevich, Michael Milken, Bernard Carrick, and others." In other words, he's only able to support pardons from the president if the president is from his party.
Right. Right. No, it's pathetic. And I've noticed that across the board, particularly given some of the commutations that President Obama gave, right? Like one was a general who'd been convicted of lying to the FBI, and before he was even sentenced, the president pardoned him. Could you imagine if President Trump pardoned Mike Flynn tomorrow? The outcry you'd hear from the left, and it was crickets when Obama did it.
Right, and so presidents have the power to pardon and commute sentences and all of that, and it is absolute, meaning there's no other branch of the government that can kind of check those powers. Now, the media, obviously, and the independent fourth estate that we're supposed to have, journalists, have every right to write stories about the people who have been pardoned, to interview them. And I watched an interview this morning of Rod Blagojevich in the airport. And I tell you, the demeanor on that guy has changed a lot. 8 years in prison, he mentioned his faith. He talked about not knowing what was next for him, but just being really happy not to be alone. And, he said prison was a place where he spent a lot of time alone. So it's going to be interesting to see what he says when he comes out and does his first major interview. And I'm one of those people where you can have any opinion you want about what the president has done with pardons and things like that. We don't know the process behind it other than certain individuals begged for clemency for these people, presented a case, and if the president granted what they requested, it means that their case was something that touched the president in some way, whether it was overwhelming evidence or lack of evidence or what have you. But I call on everyone who's screaming right now to settle down for just 1 second, take 3 deep breaths, and then recall what you said when President Obama did the same thing.
Yeah.
And if you're old enough, recall what you said when President Bush did the same thing and President Clinton. And if you had no problem with it before, why do you have a problem with it now? Are you suffering from Trump derangement syndrome? If you are, take 3 more deep breaths and then turn off your computer, turn off your television, and just spend some time with your Bible or maybe with a cold glass of water and the sound of birds tweeting. Do anything you can to settle down, because Trump derangement syndrome is making people act really crazy.
My favorite bite of the day is going to drive the Democrats crazy. Go to cut 37, please.
And if you're asking me what my party affiliation is, I'm a Trumpocrat.
That's going to eat him up, Stacey. You know it is.
Trumpocrat. Well, wouldn't you be, though? I mean, so you're sitting in prison, and a guy from the opposing political party says, you can go. What are you going to do after that? You're going to like that guy, right?
Right. No, I couldn't agree with you more on that. I don't care because I think 8 years is enough for what he was accused of doing. 1 count of lying to FBI. The other 23 counts got hung up in the jury, and they couldn't agree on them. So they sort of punished him because they couldn't convict him on all of it to 14 years in prison, which is unheard of for that particular crime. And I think I don't have any problem with what the president did. But anyway.
Me either. I was like, hey, yay. Angela Stanton was also pardoned yesterday. And she's a pro-life warrior, someone I follow on Instagram. And I met her in November at the Trump launch. And I was just so excited to see her pardoned as well. So if you're sitting out here free and you've never committed a crime and you're angry because some other people got pardoned after serving long prison terms, come on, this is nicer, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, Mark, let me switch to local politics for a minute. Mark Montavani announced this morning he's running for county executive. I'm not surprised because I think both on the Democratic side and certainly on the Republican side, people have been a little surprised at how quickly progressive Sam Page has come in that position. And then Lisa Clancy leading county council, it may be worse than Page.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought this up, Mark, because I was hoping that I'd get a chance to just touch on this really quickly during our time today. I attended a meeting last night, and I added another entry into the St. Louis County Council Diaries, which you can find at stacyontheright.com. And I was really surprised. Sam Page is pretty liberal. I have, up until my last 4 weeks viewing him on the St. Louis County Council, I considered him to be a very moderate, independent type of a person. And he's really, he's swung to the left. And I don't know if it's the influence of Lisa Page or what. He did take St. Louis Countyans to task for being racist for not eating Chinese food since the coronavirus was announced, which he provided no empirical evidence to show that that was more than anecdotal reports from people whose businesses have not seen as much, you know, during the Lunar New Year, which is supposed to be a huge time for Asian-owned businesses. He said, he told us last night, he ate lunch at Wonton King. And I don't know about you, Mark, but I didn't come all the way down to Clayton last night to hear him tell us what he had for lunch.
Thank
you. So everybody in listener land, make sure and eat some Asian food to keep the Asian businesses going. And I'm all for that. I'm not a racist. I don't think Asians have coronavirus, but I was just really surprised to hear him spend his reporting time on that issue. There were a lot of public comments last night. The one thing I want to highlight is that they're still talking about repealing the vagrancy laws, and they co-opted a wonderful man, Dr. Larry Rice, or Mr. Larry Rice, to come in and really kind of support that without any evidence. So they basically used him. And I pointed out that they can't, so they claim to be doing something for homeless people, and they had a bunch of women who had previously been homeless testify last night as to how awful it was to be criminalized. And I pointed out by reading them some verses from the book of Proverbs that it is actually sinful to give lip service to doing things for the poor and not to actually do anything for them. And eliminating the vagrancy laws will do nothing for poor people. As far as the people who have announced that they're coming out to run, I don't know anything about Mr. Montevani. I wish him the best in running. I have no interest in being there. Actually, going to these meetings is, I feel like, a duty that we don't have enough people attending.
Right.
I want to point out that they want to infuse $290 million of St. Louis County taxpayer money into rebuilding or revitalizing the Dome. Instead of taking that money to build tiny house communities for homeless or start the homeless task force that I've now asked for twice and volunteered for twice, or to revitalize areas in St. Louis County that are socioeconomically disadvantaged. People have trash piled up in North County on lots that are basically, they've been abandoned, boarded up buildings, and they're talking about paying for the Dome to be remodeled. I'm so over it.
Can I be the first one to sign on to the Stacy Washington for County Executive Committee?
Well,
seriously.
Okay. You have to first get Mr. Washington to come on board with that. We still have a teenager at home, you guys.
Talking about things, though, that nobody else is talking about. And, you know, I mean, I know Mark Harder and a few of the others on there are trying to address these issues, but they're the minority on council, and it never gets anywhere. Stacey, I read in the paper this morning, I'll give the Post credit for this one, about this controversy over whether the county, apparently Lisa Clancy and Sam Page are on board with this. They want to give iPads, tablets to the inmates. Why are we wasting money on that?
So I just want to point out, and I know this is not popular to say, but that's, I think, my calling in life. Maybe that's what I was christened on my birthday. Listen, is it not interesting that the Democrats on the county council want to give iPads to inmates, but St. Louis City kids who live in the city and kids who live in poorer parts of the county don't have iPads in their classrooms? There are no one-to-one initiatives that I know of that are actually working in poor, lower-income county districts. So this is a group of people, they're Democrats, they actually think that inmates, people who've committed crimes, deserve access to computer equipment paid for by you that your kids don't have in public school. So, I mean, partisan politics? Okay, I'll bite. I think the Democrats who are running the city county council right now don't deserve the positions that they have, which is why I'm reading scripture to them, because I want to wisen them up, because I'm not interested in doing their job. I'm interested in seeing them do their jobs well, Stop the partisanship. Stop acting like this is New York City. It's not. We are in St. Louis County. We love the way it is now. We don't want it ruined by a bunch of Democrats who are trying to make themselves famous on Twitter.
Yep.
I'm speaking to you, Lisa Clancy. You haven't returned my phone call. I called her 4 weeks ago, left a message with her staff in her office. She told someone last night during public comment not to expect her to respond to them, but that she would return their phone call if he left his information. He left his information. He'll probably get a call back, but I haven't gotten a call back from Lisa Clancy. That's a dereliction of her duty. And by the way, we are allowed to clap at those meetings. That building is owned by taxpayers. I'm a taxpayer. Lisa Clancy is on there to work for us, which includes me. She is my employee, just like Sam Page is.
Sure.
All of them are our employees, and they need to act like it.
So the St. Louis County Council diary is at stacyontheright.com, correct?
And I think people should read it and share it and plan on coming to the 1 o'clock meeting next week to say hi to Lisa at lunchtime.
Couldn't agree more. Stacy, you're great. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
We appreciate it. Love having you on here. What passion, too. People need to pay more attention to what's going on at County Council right now. It is being absolutely corrupted. 314-241-9797. Coming up at 8:10, we're going to get to the bottom line with Representative Stephen Roberts, who's pushing some gun control bills in Jeff City. We'll be back.
I actually think if you look at his record on race, on Wall Street, all of these sexual harassment complaints that were filed against him and that he settled and he has hush agreements with women on, he actually is Donald Trump's wet dream.
Oh. Julian Castro talking last night about how much he hates Michael Bloomberg. This should be an interesting debate tonight. I might have to tune in for this one just for a little while to see Mike standing on a box. That's all. Speaking of seeing things that you don't normally get to see, now that we're live on Facebook every morning, you can go to our Facebook page, The Mark Cox Show on Facebook. You can go to 971talk.com/Cox. We've got the feed up live there as well. You can see Denise Schaefer wrapped in her gray blankie because it's cold in the studio this morning, huh?
A little bit.
It got so much colder this last hour, too.
Coming into the 8 o'clock hour, it is so cold in here. I can hardly feel my fingers.
Anyway, hello to everyone because we've been watching folks on here from Germany, from up in Chicago.
Very cool. People are
watching from all over the place. Had some friends back in Ohio sign on earlier, too. So it's fantastic that we can share that with you. Hey, when you go to the Facebook page, like it, number one, please. Also vote in our poll. Do you agree or disagree with the president's decision to commute the sentence of former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich? Is how the president pronounced
it. Whatever you prefer.
That's
he doesn't care. He's out of prison. You can call him whatever
you
want.
Do what you want. All Blagojevich knows now is that apparently, despite all of this, from this point forward,
I'm a Trumpocrat.
That's all that matters, right? All right, coming up, Stephen Roberts, state representative, wants to take away your right to carry concealed in the city of St. Louis. We'll talk about it.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.